Amen. Well, I'd like to appreciate Northside for inviting us. Appreciate y'all for having a conference. The Word of God is not being preached like we preach it, as has been mentioned already. We have a lot of folks out there that water it down and make God waiting on you and God weeping and crying and wringing out His hands to see what we might do. That just totally goes against what we just heard already. God's already decided, already chose, He's already figured things out. In fact, He did it way before we ever knew anything about it. Now, being that that's being said, I'm going to go to Corinthians chapter 1. That's where I'd like to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll be in a verse 16. It says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the preaching of the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew require a sign, the Greek seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of this world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring nothing things that are, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God hath made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Says here that the world thinks what we're doing here tonight is foolishness. The world, if you tell them that a man died on a cross, that the Son of God Himself died on a cross for their sins without the power of God inflicting something on that individual, they're going to think, oh man, that's foolish. That's crazy. Why would a holy God put His own Son on a cross to save a bunch of sinners? First of all, they don't even think they're sinners. They think they're okay. They're as good as anybody else. I was there one time. I was as good as anybody else. Why, if they're all going to heaven, then I must be too. And then one day God knocked my socks off and says, son, you got the wrong attitude. You're lost. You're in need. You're a sinner. In fact, you're a sinner who deserves to be in hell. And so therefore, He brought repentance. He renewed me with His mercy. He washed me with regeneration. He took a dead man who was lost in his sins and He placed him in Christ Jesus way back yonder. And that at a given day and time, at a given spot, that He would reach down where that man was in his lostness, in his undeservingness, and lift him up and place him in Christ Jesus. It says the foolishness of preaching. I'm glad that you guys are still preaching. And any of you guys or ladies too that go out and you witness, remember that the world may think what you're doing is foolish. But you're making God, He has chosen this method to save them which believe. You say, that sounds past tense. It definitely is. somewhere along the line, all of God's elect got this thing inside them that they would be able to believe on the day they were supposed to. They would have the faith that they needed on the day they were supposed to. It says here that the foolishness of preaching, it says, Christ sent me not to baptize, and I'm not saying that baptizing is not wrong. We need to be baptized. People need to be saved. God needs to save some folks, not us preachers, as it was brought already. I don't save a soul, never have and never will, but I am glad that God allows me to be part when people do get saved. I'm glad that God lets me be part in the preaching of the word that He uses to save whom He will, when He will. He says, He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Okay, so then I therefore need to be preaching something that's important. I need to make sure that my message glorifies God. I need to make sure my message talks about the death, the burial, the resurrection, all those things that God has chosen that a man must believe to be saved. I must make sure that my message has some bark and some bite to it. There's some things that God is not just so loving and so gentle and so sweet and so all mushy-mushy that whenever you decide or whatever you want to do, He'll just let you on in. First of all, there's some judgment to be talked about. There's some temperance to be talked about. There's some hereafter to be talked about. It says here, I am to preach the gospel, not of the words of wisdom that I can say big, fluent words and big dictionary words, because you got the wrong guy there. I do good to get the little words out. But it says here, I should be preaching not with words. You know, it's good you get one of these theological arguments with somebody. Well, I can tell you why God did this. And he said, well, I can tell you why we do this. And you're not going to win that thing because you're just going to get mad or he's going to get mad. But if you just give him Christ. Christ and Christ crucified. It says, the one who died for your sins. The one who rose for your sins. The one who brings life to dead folks. First of all, I got to tell them they're dead. They got to understand, you're dead. Now, they may not ever understand. They can't understand that unless God opens their eyes to it. But the fact is, I need to let them know, you're dead. You're a bunch of dead folks walking who need a Savior. I was a dead folks walking who needed a Savior. And then He found me where I was. I wasn't looking for Him. I don't know what y'all know about me, but I wasn't hunting God. But He sure came to where I was. And when He came, I realized just exactly who I was talking to. He brought some repentance like I ain't never. Oh, you can act. Oh, I'm so sorry and I'm so out of whack and I'm so all gave up. When God gets a hold of you, you know you're sorry. But then again, as that song says, it's grace that taught my heart to fear. But it's also grace that my fears relieved. He scared me to death. And that very same grace that He scared me to death with, He says, you can crawl up in my lap now and call me Abba, Daddy, Father. We're as close as that. I can crawl right up in the lap of God anytime I get ready. I was like, He's talking about the praying. He's talking about we could just get close to God. When I need to have something with God, I don't have to get a pull paper and wait for Him to call my number. You don't have to wait for a pull paper. And it's amazing that God can hear every single one of us at the very same time and get it all straight. Man, He don't need no little pull slip. Well, I can't take it one at a time right now. No, He'll take us all. All we got to do is come, start praying, start doing. He says, preaching with wisdom, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You know, those people who are perishing, and unless God does something to change them, they're going to continue to be perishing. I don't know who the perishing people are. I just look out there and say, everybody's dead. Everybody needs a Savior. I'm going to preach the gospel. Everybody needs saving. Now, I don't save them. You don't save them. But God said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Rebuke with all long suffering, all those good things. He says, for it is written, I shall destroy the wisdom of the wise. When God came to where I was, I thought I was smart. I thought I was going to tell that preacher just how I knew I was going to be in heaven and all those kind of things. But when that preacher started spouting words about forgiveness and words about anger and words about foolishness, and God was dealing with my old heart, all of a sudden my wisdom just got smushed down and washed away. And all of a sudden I realized I needed Christ. Well, I'd heard about Christ all my life. I could tell you how to get saved all my life. There's a difference in being able to tell somebody how to be saved and being saved, though.
That's right. Amen.
God saved me.
Yeah.
If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God saved you. I'm not talking about believing that he was a man or believing that he was some guy that came along at one time and they hung him on a cross and that he's still dead in the grave somewhere. I'm talking about the Son of God who came here for my sins, who poured out his precious blood for my sins, who hung on that cross until it was finished. Not one thing do I owe. Not one part do I got to stand before God and say, oh yeah, I know there's a part I got to finish and I'm going to get it straight here in a few days. No. Jesus finished the whole part. There's not a thing I owe to get to heaven. There's not a thing I owe to get to Christ. Because I was placed in Christ by God Himself. That at a given time I would believe and repent and follow after Him. He says, where is the wise? Now, if these wise guys was getting it, this place would be busting out at the walls because all those wise guys out there would be wanting to come hear about what we got to say. But they're smarter than us. They think that we're going to enjoy the world and we're going to enjoy all the things of the world. And man, there's just so much out here to get into. My book says a lot of stuff out there that we need to stay out of. And we don't need to get into it. And that them wise people who are trying to bring, they try to bring folks with them to do those things that they're trying to do. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe that knows all the laws and all the rules and all the jots and all the tittles? When Christ came to those folks, when he walked right up in their face, they said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. We'll not have this man to be our Savior. Let's crucify him so we can keep our status. Let's crucify him so we can hold our position in the temple. When the scribes heard of all the things that Christ was doing, they got angry. They got upset. They got mad. And where is the disputers of this world? All those guys, oh, the Darwinists and all those folks who say, well, you know that there was a big bang somewhere. Well, I don't want to hurt y'all's feelings, but every time I blowed something up, it died. It don't just come back and make something new and make something better. Everything I've ever blowed up, it died or got destroyed. When God spoke, it was. When God, in the beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered over and He spoke, He says, let there be light. And there was light. He said, let there be waters over in the firmament and the firmament under the firmament. And then He says, let the grass bring forth. Well, naturally, he brought it forth in order, because if he'd have brought the man before the grass, we'd have starved to death. So God, in his ultimate, infinite knowledge, he made the grass and the fruit trees and then the animals and then man. He made everything in nature so everything was surviving and thriving just as he did it. You wait for me to say a million years, right? No, it ain't. 6 24-hour days. And on the seventh day, he rested. It was done. Everything that was going to be created or made, they say, well, we found some new gizmo. Well, you might have found some new gizmo, but God already knew about it when he made it. It ain't nothing new to God. It's just new to us. There's no new creature that they're going to find out there. Well, it might be to us, but God already knows where it was. God already knows exactly where it was. Where are those wise people? If they know so much about how everything came about, why are they not here to see the one who made it? Why are they not here to glorify God, the one who spoke it all? Because all these scientists, every time they try to figure it all out, they find out God was right. Whenever you go through this book, who hung the world? What's the world hanging on? It's just hung out there. Doing its thing. It ain't spinning no slower. It ain't spinning no faster. It's spinning just right. Or we'd all just fly out of here. Where are those wise people? That just our planet, as far as my book says, only this planet has people on it. I'm not looking for people on Mars. They're all right here with us. We got to preach the gospel to these people. Preach to these folks. It says, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Y'all remember Romans chapter 1, right? Where it says, they all knew God. In my lost condition, I knew God. I knew He existed. I might not want to acknowledge it. You might not have wanted to acknowledge it when you were lost. But the fact is, deep down, if you're a believer now, there was a fear of God placed in you somewhere down there. And you knew. You knew that He existed. But it says these folks, when they knew God, they wouldn't glorify God. They wouldn't even worship God. They wouldn't even try to acknowledge Him because they'd rather have their sins and their ungodly things and make statues and idols and everything else. So it says here that when they knew God, with their wisdom, the world wisdom, oh, we can't have a holy, righteous God over us because that would mess up our attitude on sin. That would mess up our want to go out and have fun. I've been having a lot of fun since I got saved. And I tell you, it ain't nothing like what I used to do. And I don't miss none of that.
Amen.
I don't miss it. And I warn you younguns and you younger folks, don't let the world talk you into going there.
Right.
Don't let the world tell you it's all going to be fun out there. Don't let the world try to draw you out and tell you we're going to have a ball. They're just getting you close to destruction. Don't go there. It says, for the Jew require a sign. You remember when Jesus was here, the Jews said, show us a sign and we'll believe. Even when he was on the cross, they walked by and they said, how about if you just step off and then we'll believe you? How about if I just step off and wipe you out? You ever thought about it? He could have said that? But instead, because of me, because of you, he hung on that cross because the Scripture said he must fulfill the Scriptures. You could imagine how, if I'd been hanging on the cross, just step on down and we'll believe you. I'd say, I'll step on down, all right. But yet he hung there. Holy God, all man, taking my sin upon him, taking your sin upon you, taking every single bit of it, the unburdenable weight. I can't even fathom that he took all of my load, much less all of my load, but all who will ever believe was poured upon him, plus whatever the wrath of God wanted to put on him on top of that, which we'll never be able to get a hold of. And it says the Jews are sitting there saying, give us a sign. He says, I'm giving you a sign. I'm hanging on this tree dying for your sins. I'm hanging on this tree for my people. I'm hanging on this tree for all those who believe in me. I'm giving you the greatest sign there ever was. I'm pouring out my life for my children. And then he says, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Wisdom. What am I going to tell you more than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What am I going to tell you more than God gave His very best for you? What can I give you more than Jesus Christ, who is all wisdom and all righteousness and all holiness to anyone who comes unto Him? He says, but we preach Christ crucified. The world looks at that like, that was pretty weak. That was pretty lame. I mean, you're talking about your Savior, and the only way you're saying He could save you is He had to die. Thank God. God had a plan. God had a propitiation prepared. God had an atonement for my soul prepared. And for that to take place, there had to be the shedding of blood. If he had just lived a long life and just died, no shedding of blood, he would have been a really good guy. But without the shedding of blood, without the covering, God the Father would never have let me have justification or sanctification or any of those things that go with them big words that I don't know all happened to me. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad they took place. I'm glad He did them all and He didn't have one problem with working it all out. It took Christ to die for me. It took Christ to die for you. He says, but unto them which are called. Now I understand that there's a general calling goes out, repent and believe. There's a general calling out. It's commanded all men everywhere to repent and believe. But then there's an effectual call that goes out. There's an effectual call that goes out that you just can't get away from. There's a call that goes out when He says, it's you. You know it. He says, but unto you which are called. I believe this is an effectual calling right here. This is a call that you're not going to run away from. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. When you get your eyes opened up by the Holy Spirit of God, when He goes and makes you alive, all of a sudden you realize there's power in Christ. There's wisdom in Christ. There's eternal life in Christ. All of this stuff in this world that we think is all important, one day it's going to be nothing. Everything I got, one day I'm going to leave it for somebody else. Everything you got, you're going to leave it for somebody else. But there's one thing I'm not leaving. There's one thing I'm going to. That's Jesus Christ. All the stuff on this world will mean absolutely nothing. When He steps on that cloud and says, come on, I'm not looking back. There ain't nothing back there that I'm going to need up there. Everything I need's already waiting on me. If you're a believer, all you need is waiting on you also. I want to see the one who died for me. I don't know about you guys. I want to see the one that we're talking about right here. I want to see the one who lived a sinless, perfect, holy life. How could you imagine that? Walking around with a bunch of folks like us, a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and stuff like that. You can imagine how they talked and some of the things they carried on about. And holy Son of God's walking around with them, discipling them and guiding them and leading them and bringing them up. And yet He didn't one time just wear the, if at least He didn't do it in my Bible, He didn't start, you guys need to get it together. But He kept bringing them along, kept working it out, and then He made him a bunch of apostles. Now, we know Judas. Judas wasn't never one to begin with, but he was right there among them. Some people, well, Judas lost it. No, he didn't lose it. He never had it. Judas never had it. It says here, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. You know, you can come up with all the excuses you want. You can come up with all the reasons for not coming to Christ you want. You can come up with everything there is. But there's not one single excuse, not one single ounce of wisdom. When you're at the judgment seat, whether it be at the Christ's judgment seat or at the great white throne, you'll be at a judgment seat. There's not one excuse that will get you back to the other side. If you end up at the great white throne, you're not going to say, well, God, you know, I thought. Or I was thinking maybe later. And I've heard about that purgatory stuff. Man, get that stuff out of your head. They know purgatory stuff. My Bible says when a man dies, then the judgment. When a man dies, he'll either be in heaven or he'll be in hell. He won't be in some place waiting for somebody to pray him out, buy him out, get him out. He'll either be where he's supposed to be or where he wanted to be. Because see, those men go to hell because they want to. We would all have went there if we hadn't had God reach down and change our attitudes and change our minds. We were all lost in our sin. We were all dead in our trespasses. We were all walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that walketh in all these things. He says, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men. There's not a lot of philosophers in this building. On the other hand, there's a lot of wise men in this building. The world's wise men and being wise is two different things. I want you to understand, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're wise. You're hooked on to the right wisdom. Jesus Christ is all wisdom. They say Solomon was the smartest guy there ever was, but Christ was smarter than Solomon. Following after him, he says, see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh. Not many wise. Few sometime God calls out. Not many wise. And not many mighty. Not a whole lot of weightlifters in here. Not a whole lot of world-renowned wrestlers and boxers and stuff in here. Because their joy and their desires is to have money and heritage and people looking after them and throwing stuff at them. Not many of those kind of guys come here, not saying God can't save them. Not saying that God won't save them. But you don't see Him saving a whole big flock of them. Or they'd be churches full of muscle builders over here and scholars over here and then it'd be guys like me in the middle, maybe. Sinners saved by grace. Because that's what I am, a sinner saved by grace. It says here, not many mighty and not many nobles. And I'm going to try not to get on our government because we done heard about how that goes with some folks. But those guys need Jesus. I'm telling you, I know it says in Timothy that we should be praying for the government and all these things, and we should. But I see God wrapping this thing up pretty quick.
Amen.
I'm not saying we should quit praying. We should definitely be praying for the government. But where it says that the world will get worse and worse, and men will get wickeder and wickeder. I mean, if you turn on your TV, you just near about makes you sick to your stomach because they're getting worse and worse. They you can't even get them to say yes or no to if you like ice cream. If you ask them if they liked ice cream, they'd go around the world 14 times and say, well, maybe sort of kind of, I think so, maybe. You wouldn't know. So you expect them to tell you the truth about who they're going to rob or steal or put a wall up around or whoever. You can't get the truth out of none of them. Then it says, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Guys, don't quit preaching. Don't quit teaching. Don't quit going to church. You say, well, I don't see what's happening. God sees what's happening. God knows exactly what's happening. God can have a revival bust out if He wants to. God can start it where He wants to. But the thing is, He didn't tell us, well, you don't see nothing happening, so y'all just simmer down. Y'all just quit preaching the gospel. You just quit talking about righteousness. I haven't found that verse. It says, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize them. Make disciples out of them. We're supposed to keep on being about the stuff. For God hath chosen the foolish things. When I look in the mirror, I say, God, You must have saw a whole lot more than I did. But I do understand this. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. In His wisdom, He knows exactly what He's doing. He knows exactly what He got. And He knows exactly how to use it. And He knows exactly how to use every single man and woman in this crowd. When He saved you for a purpose, to the praise of the glory of His grace. If nothing else, we should be giving praise and glory to His grace. His mercy that He saved us with. His mercy that He called us out of darkness with. We should be lifting up His name, praising His name, glorifying Him. If you can't go preach, glorify God anyways. Just give Him glory. Just give Him honor. It says, the base things. God can take some things that the world just can't get a hold of. Lost men who are drunks, drug addicts, you name it. Save their souls, put them in churches, get them to being faithful to God, get them to doing things that people was, oh, that man would have never been doing this or that or the other. You don't think God, He takes the base things and then He gets glory out of what He can do with that. He can take any vessel He wants to and get glory out of it. It says that no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh should glory in His presence. He's God. He's holy. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, immutable, all those things that we talked about earlier. I don't even deserve to stand in the same grass. But He chose to save me. Not for what I am. Not for the good that I could do. Not even to get up here and preach. He didn't need me. In fact, Jesus said if these folks wasn't hollering hallelujah and hosanna, the very rocks would have cried out. But the thing is, what I am saying is He chose preachers. He chose the foolishness of preaching. Whether or not those people out there understand what we're trying to say, we're to preach it. Preach the righteousness, the judgment, and the life to come, and the fact that you're a sinner and need to be saved. That the day that God decides to save whomever He will, the preaching will have been preached. The story will have been done. It says here, that no flesh should glory in His presence. In other words, if God busted out and saved a whole pile of people in town, we glorify Him for what He's done. We lift up His name for what He's done. If he bust out and did a revival right now, glory to God. Praise God. And I would hope that none of us would say, look at what we did. No, look at what God's doing. Look at how God is doing His thing. He's showing folks His power. He's showing folks His strength. But what I like most, He's showing folks His mercy if He did that. Because see, by His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, He cleansed us and made us alive just because it gave Him pleasure. It gave Him pleasure. But of Him, God the Father, of Him, God the Father, are ye in Christ. It wasn't some decision I made back there. Now, I did make a decision. Don't get me wrong. I did change the way I went. I repented and turned and went another direction. But God placed me in Christ. Any believer here tonight, God placed you in Christ. And He did it before the foundation of the world. He did it before you even did any good or bad. He did it before you even knew what good or bad was. And when He saved you, when He saved me, He knew exactly what He was getting. Now, I talk about some folks sometimes, some of the young folks, they get saved early and they have a little old testimony, I believe in Jesus. That's the best testimony in the world. I'd heap rather, I believe in Jesus, than somebody's telling me all the wicked, bad things they've done and then they got saved. And that's a good testimony too, don't get me wrong. And God's power took care of all that. But for God to keep this one from ever doing any of that, that is power. For some one of these youngins to have a testimony that God saved me and I've always followed God, I know they're going to sin. We all sin. But there's a lot of things that they're not going to do, I hope. And I pray they don't get hooked up into. We were placed in God, in Christ, by God, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ is the smartest thing I ever know. Christ is when God decided to make the worlds, when it said, and the Word was with God, when the Word spoke, that was Jesus Christ Himself. When the grasses were made, Jesus was the maker of it. You know, there's not one single grass, a blade, or a leaf on a tree that's the same. You could get, they look alike, they look sort of close, but if you get you a good magnifying glass or a, there ain't a single leaf that's exactly the same. There's not a single hill that's exactly the same. There's not a single rock that's exactly the same. When Jesus spoke, the great carpenter, you see, He came to the earth as a carpenter, and yet He was the master carpenter of carpenters. He made all the trees. He made all the ponds. He made all the mountains. He stretched out His line upon every single one of them. And He made them just like He wanted them. You know what? He never called me. I can make a pretty good bit of wood stuff every now and then. But not one time did He say, what do you think I ought to do with the measurement on this? Not one time did He say, reckon what I ought to do with this over here. No, He's wisdom. He's wise. He's all that we need, and He's our righteousness. You see, without Him, I'd be filthy rags. Without being in Him, believing in Him, and being a follower of His, everything I do outside of Christ is not righteous at all. But being in Him, He is my righteousness. When God looks down at me, He's looking through Christ. And He sees none of my mess ups are even in view because all He sees is the Son. I am covered by the blood. He is my righteousness. And He is my sanctification. When He was on that cross, when He rose from the grave, not only did He die, but it pleased God that He rose again. Because if He hadn't satisfied God, He would have still been in the grave. But He rose, and now I'm sanctified. I know in Judas says I was sanctified way back there, but He finished it. He took care of it. And He's my redemption. He paid in full my value at my best. He bought me at my worst. But whatever I was worth good, He paid that price for it. He is my redemption. He paid the purchase price. And He didn't give it to the devil, like some folks would like to think. He paid it to the Father. Everything was paid to the Father in full. Everything that I owed, Christ covered. Everything you owed, Christ covered. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Look, it's great that we're saved. It's great that we're on our way to heaven. But without the Lord having done it, there's nothing to brag about. There's nothing to get excited about. I don't save people. I have never saved people. And I did not save myself. God the Father saved me through Jesus Christ. God the Father set me there. God the Father called me out of darkness. God the Father says, if you will, come on. If you will, come on. Now if God has placed it on your heart, let somebody here know about that. Let somebody know what God has done for you. You know, if you did come forward or whatever, it's not the coming forward that saved you. Somebody back there, if you got saved, you got saved back yonder in the pew somewhere. But I'm sure the preacher would love to hear what God has done for you if He has saved you. It says that according as it is written, this book, not some textbook somewhere, according as it is written, he that glorieth, glory in the Lord. I hope that this whole thing, this conference, everything that happens in this conference, I hope every bit of it is for the glory of God. I hope every bit of it, God's up there saying, yeah, I'm sucking that up because I'm getting praise out of this. I'm getting glory out of this because His people ought to be able to glorify Him. His people ought to be able to hallelujah and praise God and stuff like that. His people ought to understand, I'm not proud of what I am, or I'm not in it. I'm proud I'm in the church. I'm proud I'm saved. Don't get me wrong. But it's not about me. It's not about you. We should be praising and glorifying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of them have a part. All of them have a purpose. All of them have a thing. We keep all those things in order, and God gets glory. And that's what I want to do. I want to glorify God. He is worthy. He is holy. On top of that, He's my all in all. He's everything I can get. He's my eternity. He's your eternity. Well, it wasn't quite as long as I thought.